We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I like people that are not only punctual, but are on, like, Tom Coughlin time, Chris. So what we're going to do here, it sounded a little blast that this is starting early. Chris, without any further introduction here, not going to beat around the bush. We're joined right now on the hotline, brought to you by Workers' Compensation Law Firm of Holland Capitis. We're not going to make him wait. He is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mount Lebo native, and I think still huge Pittsburgh sports fan. Do I have that last part right? Mark Cuban joining us.
Yes, you do. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. That's like an insult. I should hang up right now.
Mark, you don't pretend to like the Cowboys and Rangers and Stars, do you, down there?
Oh, no, I like them. Don't get me wrong. Like, fortunately, the Cowboys and the Steelers are in two different conferences, right? And the only time it was really painful was when we played in the Super Bowl. So I had a Texas shirt on and my terrible towel, and I tried to walk the line, but I had to root for the Steelers because of my dad. So there was no choice there.
Mark. All right, Mark. So as a Steelers fan then, the gentleman who just asked you that question has been leading the charge, Andrew Filippone, on Jameis Winston to the Steelers. Perfect backup for Ben. It's a team that's competing. Do you, Steelers fan, endorse that kind of a maneuver?
I'm the Steelers fan that says, I have no clue. But whatever you do, get it right. You know, I've learned from the NBA that just because it sounds and looks good and you can put together the stats that make it seem like a good idea, there's so much more to picking the right player, particularly a quarterback. You know, culture and approach and coachability and all those things that we don't see as fans. I've learned the hard way as an NBA owner. So I'm going to leave it to Mike and the Rooneys and all those guys.
Mark, how often do you get back to Pittsburgh?
Probably once or twice a year. My mom's still in Mount Lebanon, so I go back there. And I got to give a shout-out to my buddies, Bofi and the Big Man and Stu and Toe the Pro. Those are my guys. So I go back and see them and my mom all the time.
That sounds like an incredible crew is what that sounds like.
You have no
idea. Did I hear Toe the Pro in there?
You heard Toe the Pro and Stu, our friend who didn't get his first tattoos until he was in his 50s. And so he went downhill from there. But, yeah, I've got my crazy buddies that I played poker with and went to the Meadows with and go to Smithfield News and play pinball with. Those are my guys. Till we die. Those are my running guys.
Mark, I think so many Pittsburgh sports fans, you can imagine, are going through withdrawals right now. They understand the serious nature of what's going on and social distancing being of, you know, the utmost concern, but are also just salivating for sports to return. So what would you tell the diehard Steelers, Penguins, Pirates fans in the audience right now about the current state of affairs with sports?
I think we're coming back. I can't tell you exactly when, but, you know, the feedback I'm getting, and this is not a political thing. This is not about the economy thing. This is purely a science and doctors thing. And so, you know, I'm a big believer in American exceptionalism, and everything that I'm starting to hear in terms of the science that's coming along and the medical advances that we're making to fight this thing makes me very positive. Now, when do we get to a point where we can with confidence say our players are going to be healthy and play games with no fans? I don't know. You know, particularly with football and hockey, it's a little bit more difficult. I think baseball is the easiest because there's far less contact, and basketball, it comes after that. But I think, you know, if I had to bet, and this is more a guess than a bet, I'd say early June is when you start to see teams start to take the field and maybe play games just for television.
Mark, I think we're also hearing a lot of people, or I see a lot of people sort of kick around the discussion of specifically what is the biggest impediment to returning. Obviously, player safety, but from a logistical standpoint, on your end as a league, what's the biggest impediment in terms of just getting it around?
Yeah, just safety. The rest is easy. You know, because if you think about it, like for our summer league, we all go to Vegas and everybody stays in a couple of hotels and we play in two buildings and there's more than 30 teams, you know, and so it's really easy for us to put together. I think for baseball, it'd be, you know, a similar thing. Football, again, because there's so many players, I don't know the ramifications and the logistics there. But I don't think it's, for at least for us, the NBA, it's not a logistics issue. It's more just safety. How can you make sure that the players and staff are all safe? How do you make sure you, you know, keep them safe? And so do we put them all in one building that we quarantine and keep testing them? I don't know. The scientists will tell us that, and the NBA will tell us, the owners. But I'm confident. I'm more than hopeful. I'm confident that something good will happen.
We're joined by Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban here on 93.7 The Fan. Mark, so then just based on what you said there, it sounds like you probably had, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, I'll lead the witness. What kind of reaction did you have to the baseball, let's get everybody to Arizona proposal?
Depends on how they do it. I don't think it's necessarily bad. But I could get in my little dig. Maybe the Pirates won't be able to afford to go. But sorry, I know that's brutal. That's brutal, brutal, brutal. But I had to say it. but yeah, obviously they're smart. They're not going to put players at risk. And so as long as they follow what the doctors and scientists tell them, then, you know, it's all good. I mean, as long as it's not money that's forcing the decision, that's the most critical element in terms of trying to understand whether it's a good move or bad move. It's got to be safety first, everything else second.
Mark, how essential is it, in your opinion, to play in front of fans? How crucial to the sports experience is that component of it?
It's not right now. It's not at all. Because I think right now we're so cooped up and we're so antsy and we so want something to cheer for and get excited about that just playing in front of nobody is okay, because we'll all be glued in front of our television sets. You know, we'll all be yelling and screaming and high-fiving. You know, we'll have, you know, our families, and then we'll have our buddies zooming, you know, and watching the game at the same time. And, you know, it'll be enormous. And, yeah, having a crowd makes a difference to the players. It helps with the energy and all those things. And that's what makes it different from just watching on TV. But at the same time, this is bigger than that right now. Right now it's just about giving Americans something to cheer for.
Mark, it sounds like you have a complicated relationship with the Pirates. Is that fair?
No, you know what? I'm just a fan and have been my entire life. You know, like all Pittsburghers, I can tell you where I was at seminal moments. And, you know, I know exactly where I was when Sid Bream, you know, crossed the plate and when Franco made the catch, et cetera, et cetera.
Can we hear those? Can we hear a couple of those? Where were you when Bream was safe?
So I was in Europe. I was visiting a girlfriend in Spain and listening on Armed Forces Network radio at 3 a.m. or whatever it was, and her just looking at me like I'm the craziest dude in the world, right? And me just screaming and, you know, cursing and yelling as I listened to this thing. it was brutal. And so that was that. And then on Franco, I was in I was with some of my buddies, the guys I mentioned, and we were playing poker, I think, and we thought the game was over and went outside, and then we heard people yelling and ran back inside and saw the replay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I was, I was 7 years old, so I wasn't in Spain visiting a girlfriend rub it for in. That one. no, so I'm curious, when all we've been watching, Mark, is these classic broadcasts when we've had no live sports, you see, maybe you're flipping through, you're taking some time off from whatever you're doing, you're just relaxing, you see on MLB Network a couple nights ago that game is on. Are you the kind of Pirates fan that's going to subject yourself to that again, or are you flipping past it?
Hell no. Hell no. And, you know, it's bad for Pittsburgh teams, but, I mean, with the Mavs, it's 10 times worse for me, obviously. So I cannot watch us losing a game. If I know we're going to win and it's being replayed, then I'm all in. Like, they replayed the Mavs championship run from 2011. I could watch the games I knew we won. I couldn't watch the games I knew we lost.
Mark Cuban, Dallas Mavericks owner. You're listening to 93.7 The Fan, KDK FM here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had to do that legal ID. Hopefully that sounded polished and professional enough, Mark. do you think, back to a dollars and cents question, do you think that what we're going through right now will affect salary caps in payrolls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, because salary caps are all about math. So this isn't me thinking, okay, the owners are going to do A, B, and C, or the unions. Salary caps are, you know, in the leagues that have them, are all just about math and related to a percentage of revenue. And by all indications, revenues are going down, whether, you know, obviously for the games we've all missed, for the concession sales we've all missed, for the merchandise sales we've all missed. All those things go and impact the salary cap. So, unless by some miracle everything gets normal by the time the NFL starts playing and they're not totally impacted very much, I think all leagues are really going to see changes in salaries.
Mark, I know that the president this past weekend had the conference call with commissioners of pretty much every significant professional sports league in the United States, notably absent because it is not professional, is the NCAA. What kind of an impact, just as a businessman, do you think this could have on college football if that season is delayed or lost or
scenario? That is a great, great, great question, because I just happened to have a conversation with a friend about the exact same thing, and the question was, should the NCAA even continue to exist after all this, or should colleges and conferences use this as a way to recreate what they think it should be, or do a reset and make it re-envision it altogether? I mean, with basketball in particular, if you look back, you know, the NIT used to be the big tournament from the 50s through the 70s, I think it was, and then the NCAA stepped in. With the amount of money that's still involved and could be involved and should be involved, and the disparity in the way athletes are treated and the questions about athletes getting paid or not getting paid and movement between schools and all those types of things, now would be the perfect time to sit down and completely reevaluate and maybe create a successor organization to the NCAA. Now, it's not me. I don't have time to deal with, I'm not putting it together, but there's a private equity firm who's going to be willing to put up the money. There are colleges and universities. Because, look, and it's not just as it applies to sports. You know, as we look forward just at going to college now, their livelihoods are going to be so changed and their lives are going to be so changed. Are you going to be willing to go to the same colleges that you might have planned to go to 3 months ago? Are you going to be willing to take out the same number of loans? And if a program is losing money and they're losing students and they're losing, they can't charge as much in tuition and the subsidies are not there from the state or whoever because tax revenues are falling, now it's probably a pretty darn good time to start modeling out what collegiate sports can and should and will look like. Because hopefully, God willing, we're never going to be in this position again. And so now's the time to say, do we need the NCAA? And if we were starting from scratch, what would we make it look like for all collegiate sports, one collegiate sport, whatever it may be?
Mark Cuban joining us here on 93.7 The Fan, also kind enough to give a shout-out to some of his buddies in Mount Lebanon, which was one of the best moments of this interview thus far. Do you think that, Mark, do you think that the NCAA, for your position, for where you are in the NBA, do you think it works as a feeder system in a minor league system? Like, would you want to see the NCAA blown up?
I think it's a disaster. I think it's everything wrong. And it's not necessarily all their fault, because I just think the way they're you can't serve two masters. You can't say we're all about student athletes and then say, well, but we also have to maximize revenue. That's a dichotomy that's difficult to overcome. And again, that's why you're seeing a lot of student athletes wanting to get compensated. But at least in basketball, it gets worse from there. Football is, I don't know all the nuances, so it looks like from the outside it's a straight-up feeder system. Who knows? But with basketball, you have AAU feeding into the collegiate programs. You have overseas training facilities that, our guy Luka Doncic, who, turned pro when he was 15, and started working with pro teams when he was 13, their development system is completely different. Over there, if you want to become an athlete, you're developed to become an athlete until you're no longer capable of staying at that level. Whereas over here, there's so many ridiculous rules, particularly for basketball, that invites, cheating, right? That invites, people that don't have the best interest of the kid at heart. And those types of things really need to be addressed. There is no better time than right now to do that.
Yeah, you just kind of sparked something because you're mentioning the feeder system for basketball in Europe and how that all works. I'm thinking of the English Premier League, excuse me, which has – it's the most analogous in Europe, I would think.
There's like camps,
the NFL.
Right, Chris?
Right. Well, you can get signed to a team when you're 9 or 10 years old if you're a phenom. Yeah. Do you think that would benefit sports in this country? Like certain, maybe not for football. Kids develop at different times. It's a little hard to predict. If you had something closer to the European soccer model, do you think that would be a net good in the long run?
Yes. And look, obviously, I'm selling my own book. I have self-interest in this. But it doesn't preclude – if you sell – I don't see us signing 9-year-olds, but let's just say it's an 11-year-old, and you sign up to some type of scholarship or contract for a development team. As long as everybody adheres to the rules of going to school, right? Because you see it in tennis. Kids go out there and spend a boatload of money to get on the tennis circuit, and they have the opportunity to make money or at least put away money that's saved for them on the tennis circuit as well. Same with the golf circuit. Same in music and other individual talent-based environments. And so I don't think it'd be that out of school to do that, as long, again, as you adhere to all the education requirements. And acting, look at, if you're an actor and you go on set, we're not preventing 9-year-olds from becoming well-paid actors as long as they meet all the education requirements on the set. And so I think we can do the exact same thing, but it has to be transparent, right? You have to make it so everybody sees what's going on. There's no hidden deals. You know, if it's run by the NBA, great. If it's run by a third-party organization, great. I don't know that we'd allow individual NBA teams to sign in, kids like they do, and I'm just speculating and guessing here, like they do in Europe, but I could see creating a program, a development program, that potentially allows us to contract or connect with kids and maintain all the standards that the NBA would feel is necessary, particularly education.
Mark Cuban here on 93.7 The Fan. Mark, we started a little early, so people might have flipped over late and not heard your opening remark about sports coming back in June. Is that based on you just being a glass half full guy at your core, or are you now gathering information more? Is it a testing-based answer? Just elaborate on that for our audience, if you could.
So my attitude always is, it's not about if the glass is half empty or half full, it's who's pouring the water.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
In this particular case, it's the scientist pouring the water. And so I'm not coming to any conclusions. All I know from all the science and everything that I'm reading, just like anybody else can read, that I think we're making enough advances that several of them will come through so that we can start planning what a comeback would look like. And if things really go our way, you know, it's not inconceivable to me, and this is me being hopeful, not being scientific, that we could potentially play games early June.
Has anybody asked, and I'm sure they have, and you might actually know the answer, that's why we're having you on, if you ramped back up and there was a positive test, would that shut everything back down?
I don't know. That's something we'd have to build into the realm of possibilities and decide in advance. You know, do you just quarantine that person? I don't know. I'd just be guessing.
Mark, what does Pittsburgh mean to you? What does this area – did it make you – do you look at Pittsburgh as the reason why you are where you are right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and today's my dad's birthday. He passed away a couple of years ago, so I owe a lot to my dad and my mom. It gave me everything, and my best friends that I mentioned. You know, that's family, and that's how I grew up. And, you know, my dad did upholstery at a place called Regency Products on West Liberty Avenue and worked 6 days a week, and that's the work ethic I got. And he always wanted something better for me. He didn't want me working there. You know, he wanted me to go to college, something that he and my mom didn't do. And so it just, you know, Pittsburgh's just that type of go-to-work town. It's that bust-your-ass town where, you know, you can take a punch, get back up, and keep on firing through. I mean, just look at the city itself. You know, I grew up and it smelled like rotten eggs. Now it's a technological and, you know, medical technology leader. We went from everybody dismissing us to everybody, you know, praising us and being wild at, you know, what Pittsburgh was able to become. And, you know, you see it every time I go back. And don't get me wrong, I love Dallas. I love it. You know, I really wouldn't want to live anywhere else with my family, but I owe so much to the city of Pittsburgh. I can't even put in words.
Mark, I got one more for you, and I'm very curious to get your overall take on this, because I think it's a pretty thorny and not easy to necessarily unpack issue connected to the return of sports. Obviously, in our business, there are a lot of bars, restaurants, clubs that you and your buddies may have gone to in your younger days, perhaps.
No, right.
That do business with us and that are currently shut down. And a lot of those places, like, you know, places around a ballpark or a football field or a hockey or basketball arena, aren't no one's working right now, or they're dramatically reduced and they're hurting. So how do you balance maybe sports coming back from a TV perspective and for a sanity for the public perspective and the people who own those businesses, genuine small businesses, still being kind of left out in the cold potentially?
Well, I mean, you got to do first things first, right? You got to get the games played however you can get them played first. Now, once that's in hand, that in terms of getting to where we can go outside and go to bars and restaurants within all this social distancing, that comes back to science again, you know. But what I'd say to the Permanis of the world, and they're smart, and the Dirty O's and all the places around the stadium, you know, government put together a stimulus plan that, you know, the PPP program, apply for every loan. And if you're a contract bartender, if you're a contract employee at the stadium or the arena, you know, you're allowed to apply for the Paycheck Protection Program. So go to your bank or go to SBA.gov. And this is the first time independent contractors have been allowed to apply. And they'll put up 2.5 months' salaries for your employees or for you as the independent contractor. That's the first thing you need to do. If you're laid off, file for unemployment. You know, there's no harm and there's no shame in doing that. Do it. That's why it's there. That's why you paid your taxes. And so those are the first things that you need to do. Once we get past that, if for some reason that money is still not there for whatever reason, then, you know, we're going to have to innovate. It's like our arena, you know, all the getting people back to the American Airlines Center. We're trying to put together the science that says, okay, how can we sanitize this? How can we sterilize it? How can we make sure that when you walk in the door, you feel confident that you're not at risk? And those are the things we're working on now, because we know that when we turn the corner and get to America 2.0 and get to the other side of this reset, that we have to be prepared. We can't start then. And I'd say the same thing to all those restaurants and bars and taverns. You've got to figure out what you're going to look like the day after. You know, are you going to have as many tables? Probably not. Are you going to have just, you know, how are you going to configure your restrooms? How are you going to clean it? How are you going to let everybody know it's clean? How often are you going to clean it? You know, are you going to put sheets between the tables? What, you know, see-through plastic? Who knows? But you've got to try to calculate those things, because the only certainty right now is the day we get back and the day people can start going out. One, they're going to want to go in numbers. But two, we're not going to be the same. You can't presume that it'll be the same as it was, because it won't be. And you don't want to be that one business where people say, well, is that where they caught it? Because, you know, it will come back at some level in some respect, right? Because that's the way viruses work. And what we want to do is to keep it from coming back with a vengeance and trying to minimize that impact. And you don't want to be that business that this gets traced back to. So you have to be safe. And while you're closed, now is the best time to figure out what to do, so that when you're opened, when it's time to open, you're ready to go.
When Mark Cuban comes back to Pittsburgh and sees a ball game, does he sit in the nice luxury suite right behind home plate, or does he sit out in the bleachers?
I've done both, right? So if I'm with my buddies, it just depends which buddies. Like Big Train, he wants to go nice. You know, the big man, he doesn't care. He'll go anywhere. And so I tend to prefer sitting out out in the outfield. But this last time when I came back this summer, I had my family, and they were only going box seats. That was it. That was the trade-off.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a blast. I know so many people look up to you here and respect your thoughts on things. And it's been cool to not only reminisce, but also look ahead to the future. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Mark, keep on doing what you're doing and stay safe.
You got it. Mark Cuban. Damn. That guy is a legend right there.
I do like hearing optimism. I know on this show and in print, I've been pretty pessimistic, realistic, but it is invigorating, whether Mark Cuban's timeline is right or not, to hear optimism about it. That was refreshing. Whether it comes to pass or not, it was like a nice bolt of something good.
You know what else I discovered in that interview? I don't have enough friends with cool nicknames.
Malzy,
Kreggers. I mean, these are not like exciting.
Big Train.
Cookie, like Cookies, Zeiss, Pomp. I mean, these are not exciting, fun names. I like guys like Big Toe and Big Train and whatever else. That was just.
Was it Joe the Toe?
Joe the Toe. Yeah, there it is. There was Big Train
Something
and Joe
like
the
that.
Toe.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, he's an original. He's a Pittsburgh original, that guy. That was awesome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.